This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a gunner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A gunner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Well, after parts of 4 weeks being here in Florida, that's actually the last time you're going to hear that. This is our final show that we are doing from Florida as far as Sports Open Line goes. We'll be on tomorrow, 6 to 8, but technically that is the countdown to opening day show, myself and Mike Claiborne. And then nothing going on with us here on Friday because we're going to have Cardinal baseball. They're playing a Friday night game this week. So it is our final time to do Sports Open Line from Florida. Tom Ackerman's going to make his way down here this weekend as I make my way back to St. Louis over the final couple weeks of spring training. But we got a lot to get into. This happens every year. This happens every single year. So one of my goals is that I talk to basically every media member and do an interview with them that is here in Florida covering the team. And I have failed in my goal again. There are multiple reporters down here that I did not get onto the show this year, but I wanted to get, and we'll talk to them at other times. It's not really a big deal. It's a me thing, not a you thing. But we'll talk to some of them today. Lynn Worthy and Daniel Guerrero, among the folks who are going to be on. Also, we'll talk with somebody we do talk to fairly often, and Mike Claiborne and Bernie Miklas is going to join us coming up later on as well. It's going to be mostly Cardinals. We are going to talk a little City SC as coming up in our next segment. We're going to talk with one of the legendary Spanish language broadcasters in the sport of soccer as Sammy Sadovnik is going to join us. And he's going to be on the Spanish call for MLS season pass. We'll conduct our conversation in English, but we'll talk with Sammy coming up in just a little while, and excited to be able to talk to him and get to know him a little bit. As mentioned, just one of those legendary soccer broadcasters on the Spanish language side of things. Cardinal, it was an interesting day. It was an interesting day today in Jupiter, and we'll play some audio from Oliver Marmol at the end of this hour. We're going to play audio from Ali specifically talking about the Jordan Walker injury situation. And then at the end of the show, at the end of next hour, we're going to play some audio from Oliver Marmol speaking more about the game today. So just a couple rundowns on both those things before we go deeper on them later on in the program. But Cardinals lose today to Houston 6-5. The notable things that happened: Sonny Gray started and he got his pitch count to about 50. He finished with 49 pitches, according to the Cardinals. No StatCast data at Ballpark of the Palm Beaches. So unless you're counting along with them, we can just rely on the Cardinals to tell us. And the Cardinals told us that Gray got to 49 pitches today. That was the main thing. Like, do you look at the line and can it be concerning? I would say no, because it's his first Grapefruit League start, and you should not put anything into anything that happens in somebody's first appearance in spring training. But an issue that Gray had last year that did rear its face today is giving up home runs. Sonny Gray gave up 3 home runs today. That's how all 3 of the runs scored. So 3 runs, 4 hits, 3 home runs, 3 strikeouts. But more than anything else, it was about him getting onto the mound in a Grapefruit League game for the first time. Thought the bullpen looked good, especially the guys who you're going to count on this year. Chris Roycroft, Jojo Romero was fantastic. John King looked good. A guy that I continue to be more and more intrigued by, Roderick Munoz. I thought he looked good today with a couple strikeouts. I'm wondering if he's not just going to fight his way onto this roster before all is said and done, because he's been impressive, has not given up a hit in his first 3 appearances. A couple guys who are vying for bench spots: Lucan Baker and Jose Barrero each hit home runs. For Baker, he hits his 3rd home run. His numbers he's putting up are pretty good. So that was the game portion of the day. The injury portion of the day. So yesterday, it was largely talked about that Jordan Walker came out of the game yesterday with a knee issue. He felt some pain in his knee. What happened was at the Ballpark of the Palm Beaches, his cleat basically got caught into a sprinkler head, which is not great, and he felt some pain in there. A lot of people were holding their breath in a very big way, because sometimes the smallest thing can happen with the knee and it can be a big thing. It could be an ACL or an MCL or something like that. Instead, what it is it's inflammation. So they're going to shut him down for baseball activities for about a week. The bummer of that is that he was coming off a really, really good game on Sunday, swung the bat as well as he had swung all spring. But they're going to shut him down for about a week, and they think he's going to be fine. And this was about as the best possible news that you could get in this situation. So good news on Walker, only going to miss about a week of spring before he starts to ramp up once again. And we'll play some of the audio from Oliver Marmol for you, but I can tell you he was extremely happy. That's all it was, that it wasn't anything more serious, that it was simply some inflammation in the knee, and they just need to give it some time and allow that inflammation to drop down a little bit. So that's kind of those are the storylines from Jupiter and from Cardinals spring training today. I keep saying it's kind of a boring spring training, and that's not a bad thing. There's just not a lot going on. We've had a couple injury issues in the last few days with Zach Thompson and now Jordan Walker. But with Thompson, he's going to be shut down for a month or so, and they hope that he's going to be able to get back sooner than later. For Walker, it's just going to be a week, and he's going to be back playing spring training games before you know it. So compared with what some teams are dealing with, the Cardinals are in pretty good shape, knock on wood, as they continue to go through spring. And there'll be some other injuries that certainly pop up between now and the start of the season. Again, lots of baseball today on the show. Bernie Miklas is going to join us about 6:35. Next hour, Lynn Worthy, Daniel Guerrero, both from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and then Mike Claiborne as well. All those folks are going to join me to talk Cardinals baseball. We'll step away from the Cardinals for just a moment and welcome onto the show Sammy Sadovnik. He is a Spanish language broadcaster for MLS Season Pass. He's going to have the City game this weekend. He joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Tocando en tres cuartos para Suárez, Messi, Messi, ¡golazo!
Well, City fans are hoping they get to hear that a time or two this upcoming weekend. So far, it hasn't happened for City. They haven't scored any goals in their first two matches. Good for them. They have not allowed any goals in their first two matches. We'll see if that changes coming up on Sunday when they are on the road against LA Galaxy. And on the call on the Spanish side of things on MLS Season Pass, legendary Spanish language soccer broadcaster Sammy Sadovnik, and he joins us right now on the program. Sammy, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
How are you? Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor to be with you guys and with your audience.
Yeah, awesome. We appreciate that for sure. So you'll be on the call this weekend as City SC attempts to score a goal for the first time this year. As you get ready for this game and as you've taken a look at what City has done in the first two games of the year, what struck you? Why are they having a hard time scoring goals, and how good has the defense been that they're not allowing any goals against them?
Hopefully that they will score the first goal in the match day three, this Sunday night soccer with the MLS 2024 champions LA Galaxy. I think the coach is making a good team in defense, you know, with three center backs. The other day, Kessler was for me one of the best players on the pitch against San Diego. But they're lacking on the attacking zone. I mean, with Betcher, with Trouchard, and the second half with Celio Pompeu or Klaus, I think he prioritized the defense to have a clean sheet and not looking to score. I mean, they have only one shot on target against San Diego, and in that case, it's so difficult to win the games.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you, because last year City played to a bunch of ties and they didn't score a lot of goals. People will tell you, though, it's looking different. I think there continues to be a lot of people lamenting the fact that they didn't score against Colorado, where they could have easily won that game and they could have easily scored multiple goals. Do you look at this team and see a team that are doing the right things and that the goals are eventually going to come?
I mean, it's a process. I mean, they changed the coach. The coach Melberg arrived in January. They need a time of adaptation of the roster. They came and they have new players on the roster on the team. So I think it's. I mean, the preseason for me doesn't count because what's a preseason games, but they balance. They again prioritize the defense, but they need to be more aggressive. Maybe they play with five in the back and three in the middle and two number nines, two forwards. Maybe to open on the bends, you know, right and left, to put the balls on the box, trying with Betcher or Klaus, whatever who's the forward plays, the option to score a goal.
How long do you think it takes when you bring in a new coach? Because you mentioned those preseason matches, but a preseason match is not a regular season match. The intensity, everything that goes along with it is so different. When you bring in a new coach at the beginning of the season, how long do you think it generally takes for them to really have their system and what they want their team to be doing in place?
Yeah, you have to work a lot. You need training sessions to know the soccer, the football philosophy from the new coach. I don't know too much about Ole Melberg. He was in Sweden or in Europe more than here, but it takes time. I mean, he arrived just 2 months ago. They have new players. They try to make their best in order to be available for the coach. It took time. I mean, it's not bad, the first two games with draws. The problem is, I mean, they have a clean sheet with Berge. He's a great goalie. But the thing is to try to be more offensive, against the teams. Now you have Galaxy. I mean, it's they start with two losses, and they're trying to make, different. They lost Ricky Puig. They have injury and pain still. Jovalich went to Kansas City. So Greg Vanney also tried to restructure the team that won in December the MLS Cup.
Yeah, just to finish you off with this, speaking a little bit more about the LA Galaxy, because they have lost their first two matches. They lost to San Diego by a 2-0 score, and then they fall to Vancouver 2-1. So LA has only scored one goal so far. They've given up four goals. Have you been at all surprised by the early results from LA Galaxy?
Yeah, because the middle field is almost new. Marky Delgado went to LAFC. And Gaston Brugman to Austin, so they have to rebuild the midfield with Cerrillo. They have Lucas Sanabria, a youngster from Uruguay. Marco Royce, in my opinion, is not 100% ready. I mean, that have some issues physically. Painsil is injured. Ricky Puig, it's injured. He will be back probably in mid-July or August. And now they have only Berry and Christian Ramirez, the former Columbus Crew forward, as a nine. Fagundes is trying to make the Pencil replace Pencil, and the only player that was a champion was Gabriel Peck. And also reorganized the defense. The other day, played with Emilio Garces. He regularly is a central back. He was like a right back. And they have the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So maybe they will need to, you know, to have a minute from rotate the roster for the Sunday game. But they need, I mean, they need to win, to start to win, because they are like a mini crisis of results in this first two games.
Sammy Sadovnik, he is a legendary Spanish language soccer broadcaster, part of the team over at MLS Season Pass on the Spanish side. Sammy, just how much have you enjoyed being part of the team at MLS Season Pass? We tell people all the time, for soccer fans, for MLS fans, for City fans, this is a great product to be able to subscribe to and follow along with the entire league, including City SC.
I'm very excited. This is my third year. With Diego Valeris as a caller, a legendary Portland Timbers player. And we have a great team in Spanish and English, of course. We always travel with Jake, I think was last week with you guys, and Taylor Trellman. And we enjoy because we travel every weekend and stay in the venues. You know, it's instead of being in a studio, a cold studio with a TV monitor in front, we are in every venue. So we can feel the excitement of the people, of the fans, and this is a great opportunity for us. So we invite you guys on Sunday Night Soccer on Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We have an hour of pregame. So I have an hour of postgame. So let's see a good game, a Galaxy against the St. Louis this coming Sunday.
Sammy, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you so much.
You bet. That is Sammy Sadovnik joining us here on the show. We're going to jump right back into baseball. Bernie Miklas, the big dog, he joins us next on a Graybar Sports Open Line from Florida and spring training on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Our final two-hour Sports Open Line from Florida, as I'll be coming back to St. Louis this upcoming weekend. Tomorrow, we've got the countdown to opening day show, and then Friday, Cardinals play a night game, a rare night game during Grapefruit League play. So we'll have that for you here on KMOX. It is time for our weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas. Of course, you see him and hear him on the Gas House Gang, however you take that in. Maybe you watch it live on the KMOX social media channels at 12 noon each weekday. Maybe you watch it later. Maybe you catch the podcast of it. Maybe you hear it on KMOX at night. Multiple ways for you to get connected with the Gas House Gang. Also, Bernie does his daily YouTube videos on his YouTube channel at The Bernie Show. Certainly something you need to be checking out on an everyday basis. So with that, we do welcome in Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always great to have you on the show.
Matt, always good to be with you, my friend.
So let's just kind of start very generally. What has stuck out to you about what you have seen and heard about Cardinals spring training over the last week or so?
Well, in no particular order, you got to love what Victor Scott's doing. I mean, he's showing out great, just all phases. And I think it's a continuation from what we saw late last season. And see, that's what I look for. Like, as you know, mm-hmm. I think we're all a little wary of spring training stats, but when a young player has got something to prove and a job to win, and he established late in the previous season that he had figured some things out, and then when that carries over to spring training, I mean, that's a really good sign. I don't know what it's going to mean in terms of whether he's going to win the center field job or not, because we all know Lars Nootbaar probably is going to get a lot of time out there. But Victor Scott's doing everything he can do to put the Cardinals in a situation where they're going to have a very tough decision to make. The other thing that jumps out, and I'll keep it a short list, the other thing that jumps out is that just so impressed by their young pitchers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, and you were helping me out the other day because I was looking for some clarity on the bullpen competition. But, you know, the young starters, the young relievers. I mean, guys that we think just about all of them will be helping the Cardinals at some point, and by how much, I don't know. You know, how soon, I don't know. But I think they're showing that there's no reason not to include them when you're thinking about going through 162 games. I think they can all be of some service in a good way, depending on, again, need and opportunity.
Yeah, let's touch on both those things. So we'll jump back to Victor Scott for a second. He's hitting close to 600, Bernie. He is stealing bases. He's got 4 stolen bases in spring. He's taking the extra bag when he's on base, whether it's turning a single into a double or going first to third on somebody else's hit. His routes, like, you haven't noticed him doing anything poorly out defensively in the outfield, which I think last year you noticed that he didn't get great jumps and he didn't take great routes. He made up for it a lot with his speed, but the routes weren't there. That's much improved. It is 2 weeks of spring training games, so I don't want to, you know, crown this guy an all-star and a gold glove winner and an MVP and all those sort of things, but he's doing just about everything you could ask of him to do right now.
That's what it comes down to. You know, when a player of some real promise, it's not like he's a guy. I think everyone had their eyes open to just how good he can be, you know, based on what he did in 2023 at AA, where he just was fantastic in every area. And, you know, it's one thing if, you know, there are guys in camp, they're kind of like flash in the pan. You know, we know that they're not going to be prominent in terms of 2025 or whatever, maybe 2026. But Victor Scott is like, he has seized the moment, no doubt about it, or he's seizing it. Still, to your point, he's got a ways to go this spring, but he has seized the moment so far. And I think it's pretty exciting. And again, I don't know what this means for his future as far as making the team or winning a starting job. In fact, if you don't mind me asking the question, what do you think? Because you're on the ground in Jupiter. What's the buzz internally there from Cardinals people in terms of Victor Scott II?
I think he's the leader in the clubhouse for the center field job right now. And one thing that leads me to say that, Bernie, is every time we ask about the center field position specifically, that's when Ollie starts talking about, well, decisions this year are going to be made about 2025, but also how they impact 2026 and beyond. If that is a true statement, then Victor Scott's your guy, because it sets him up for the future. And I think Ollie believes that when it comes to certain other areas, but the only time we ever hear him talk about these decisions are going to be looked at from a 2026 and beyond perspective as well, it seems to be when we're talking about the center field spot.
And that's what you and I believe talked about this on Sports Open Line last week. Or maybe, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last week, last Wednesday. And I was saying, like, if, you know, when they're talking about a runway season, and we're all in favor of runway season because it means, you know, extended or extensive opportunities for young players. Well, I don't think there's anyone on the roster, like in terms of competing for a job. I don't think there's anyone on the roster who represents what a runway season is supposed to be about, because to what Ollie said, it's not just about Victor Scott. We're all concentrating strictly on 2025. But if he plays a lot in 2025 at the big league level, even if he has some slumps or downtimes or whatever, that's going to make him so much better when the Cardinals go into 2026. So I think Ollie's right if he sticks to that. I think it really is about more than the next 2 years rather than 1 year, because 2025 can do a lot to make you a better team in 2026 if the right players get opportunities in 2025, because they're going to be part of your future.
The other thing you mentioned, the young pitching, especially the relief pitching. I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want it to sound like I was in favor of Zach Thompson being injured. Because if Zach Thompson can find who he was in his rookie year when he has sub-3 ERA, he could be an incredibly important piece of this bullpen. And I was hopeful for that to happen. But when he did get injured, I thought to myself, maybe this is going to give us the chance, whether it's a Gordon Graceffo, whether it's a Tekoa Roby, whoever, a Chris Roycroft, an expanded role for him, whoever it might be, maybe this is going to be the chance for us to see that young relief pitcher in a larger role to start the season. And I think, much like you, that excites me. I think there's a lot of really exciting young arms on this team.
Yeah, and it, right. And if I look at it a pragmatic way, and I'm like you, it's like, no, you don't want to see anybody get injured, and especially Zach Thompson, because he's been a really hard luck pitcher. It's really a shame because he does have talent. But if you want to be practical about it, you know, it looks like Libertor is going to be in the bullpen. We know King and Romero are going to be in the bullpen. There's always been talk like when they want to open up a space, they can move Mats to the bullpen. I mean, how many lefties can you put in the bullpen, right? And so that's not to mean Zach Thompson. But I'm agreeing with you. I mean, they may decide, you know what, let's get him on the starting pitching track down in Memphis when he's ready to start pitching again. Because I think they got more lefty relievers than they know what to do with, really, you know, especially if Mats is moved to that role.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. We got news today. Jordan Walker, everybody kind of got worried. He stepped on a sprinkler head in a funky way in the outfield in West Palm Beach, which is not a great way to get injured. What's going on where sprinkler heads are popping out? But the news from Oliver Marmol earlier today was that there is no structural damage whatsoever. They're going to be very careful. They're going to shut him down for about a week and then start to ramp him up again after that. You get the sense they may push him a little faster than that if the same type of injury would happen in the regular season. But, Bernie, I think the one disappointing thing about this was he was coming off that really good game on Sunday where we got kind of a glimpse of what Jordan Walker can be.
Yeah, no doubt about it, the timing. But also, just to add to your point, this is a really big year for Jordan Walker, and it's a big year for the Cardinals as it pertains to Jordan Walker. And it's not like if he has a disappointing season, you know, they're going to get rid of him. It's not that at all, but it's still a really big year for him. But the thing you want to see in spring training is just him getting as many reps, many at bats as he can. And so even if he's out for, you know, like you said, a week, if it's a week, maybe a tad longer than that, depending on how it goes, you know, those are at bats that he'll never get. And you just don't know, you know, the more reps you have, the more you start finding some stuff, maybe your confidence grows. If it's a best case scenario we're talking about, what is your take on how he's looked up until this point? And I know he's hit the ball hard, but what about the strikeouts? What do you think?
Yeah, too many strikeouts. And really, I think when he's made contact, he's hit it hard. He's always hit it hard. That one game, that was fantastic. And I know he didn't have a hit, but you got to look past that. He hit the ball hard. He hit the ball in the air. One of the flyouts would have been a home run in 26 major league parks. One of the lineouts was like 105, 106 off the bat. He looked great. If that's who Jordan Walker is, that's an all-star caliber bat. But Bernie, we hadn't seen that. We'd seen a lot of strikeouts. So it feels like both him and Nolan Gorman, it's still kind of coming in spurts. And that's the point of spring, to turn the spurts into consistency, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and there, gosh, we can't say this enough times because it's so very much true. You know, those two guys, Walker and Gorman, are so vital to the direction of the Cardinals offense in 2025. They're not the only guys, obviously, but they are huge in the big picture. Because really, the 2025 season is going to be about, and again, it's never coming down to one factor, but last season, I think you can make the case, you know, they had solid starting pitching. It wasn't great, but it was solid, and it's certainly better than 2023. And the bullpen was, I think, you know, I've been covering Cardinals baseball since 1985. I don't think I've ever seen a better bullpen in a single season for the Cardinals than the one we did last year. And so I really think it was all on the offense. If you asked to identify, okay, what are the reasons why they did not make the playoffs or win more than 83 games? I think clearly it all rested with the offense. And so they're going to need that. And it's basically the same guys again, right? It really is. There's not like there's anyone really new into the mix, you know, because I don't think Thomas Tajaci's, you know, at least at first, is going to have much of a chance to play. And I don't know how Matt Kupraniak, you know, kind of gets through that crowd in the outfield. So these are basically all the same guys. And all right, what has to happen for them to go being a really mediocre offense to an above average offense? Because that could make the difference in maybe you win 7 or 8 more games. I don't know how to quantify that, but we all know that if they're an above average offense as bad as they were last year, that's a pretty big difference for the Cardinals. And it could lead to this exceeding expectations type of season that we hear John Mozeliak and others talk about.
He is Bernie Miklas, again, part of the Gas House Gang, noon on all the KMOX social media channels. Follow him on his YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. He's going to give you at least one video every weekday doing a deep dive on a single topic. Just great, fantastic stuff that should be part of your sports viewing just habits every day. Bernie, before we get you out of here, though, if we can hear a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling.
I'm always pleased when you ask me to talk about Saliga. I'm so proud of them, and we've been a Saliga family for 16 years, and you know, I can testify over and over again how great they are. And if they weren't great, I'm sure by now we would have moved on to something else, but we love what they do for us. And they're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. They've been serving St. Louisans since 1927. They're still in the same building down in South City on Gravois. Dan Saliga is the fourth owner operator of this great, the fourth generation owner operator, this great, great family business. And they can do it all for you, residential work, commercial work, all makes and models. They do a lot of things that aren't specifically about heating and cooling, but can still, like, they can improve your indoor air quality, things like that. They can put in ductless systems. They can clean your ducts, all this other stuff. Every time I say that, I want to go quack. They do all anything to do with your ducts. And also, just check out the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program that works really, really well, and a lot of benefits. And we're members of that too, the Priority Club. So, and don't forget that American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning Dealer is a St. Louis institution. If you want to find out more, especially about the Priority Club, go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. The phone number, 314-481-7333. Thank you, Matt.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We've got a whole lot coming up in hour number two, as we are going to talk with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch, Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch, and our good friend Mike Claiborne is going to be on as well. That is all coming up in hour number two of the program. Wanted to play for you a little of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol said today, and just kind of set the scene. This is how things went down, kind of leading to a moment that wasn't the big deal that maybe you thought it was going to be, but you were glad that it wasn't. So Oliver Marmol meets with the assembled media on an everyday basis fairly early on in the day, and then they go about their work. When he met with us early on in the day today, he did not have the imaging back yet on Jordan Walker's knee, so we set another time to meet with him, and that was after the team had arrived at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, so media were waiting for the team to arrive. They got here, and then he brought us into his office. So just a lot of buildup to find out the details of Jordan Walker's knee and just how injured it might be after he had stepped awkwardly on a sprinkler head. And as we sat down to listen into Ollie, he gave that update, which was pretty much as good a news as you could get with there still being some type of injury there.
Great news. Structurally, everything is in a good spot. Some inflammation above the knee. We will take about a week to let that calm down and then ramp back up. So that's where we're at.
So Walker's going to sit down for a full week, no baseball activities, and you wonder about that ramp-up process as we are getting closer and closer to the start of the season. But Marmol made it very clear that he feels like Walker is still going to have the opportunity to play in many spring training games.
It is what it is. We'll let it come down for a week, and then we'll ramp that baby back up, and we'll still have time to see him in plenty of games.
And with the injury just being inflammation and there being no structural damage, not really twisted, kind of jam, but no strain, no sprain, none of that sort of stuff, Marmol said that this is one of the best possible outcomes.
He didn't break his leg. Going to miss a few days of baseball and then ramp back up. This is really good news.
And the final thing on this discussion, this is, you know, bluntly, this is how boring spring training has been this year. Since the Nolan Arenado stuff early on in spring, it has been a boring spring. And that's not bad. That can be good. That means everybody's just kind of doing their work. You're not dealing with a lot of injuries, things like that. The last thing on this discussion, Marmol did say that Jordan Walker, when he got the news that he was going to be sat down for a week, that he took the news in stride.
He was perfectly fine. He was like what you would expect it to be. Obviously, he wants to be in there every day, but knowing that this is just some inflammation that he needs to allow to calm down and get back into it, that's obviously a positive. But no, he was he was fine.
That's Oliver Marmol talking a bit about the Jordan Walker injury news, and that's going to be it for hour number one of the program. Again, hour number two will feature conversations with Lynn Worthy, Daniel Guerrero, and Mike Claiborne. That's all coming up after the 7 o'clock news, which is in just a few moments. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinal Spring Training on KMOX.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, broadcasting from Jupiter, Florida, and at Cardinals Spring Training. We are into hour number two of the program. We've got a bunch of interviews coming up. We're going to speak with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch in just a moment. Then his Post-Dispatch STL Today colleague Daniel Guerrero will join us. And then our good pal Mike Claiborne joins us this hour as well. So we've got a lot to get to here in what is our final hour of Sports Open Line, originating from Florida. Again, tomorrow night, countdown to opening day show. And then on Friday, we will have Cardinals baseball on during this time. So with that, let's bring on Lynn Worthy, who's in a little bit of a different role card covering Cardinals spring training this year. Previously, he had been a Cardinals beat writer. He recently made the move to a columnist, so he's covering a lot more than Cardinals baseball. But he's down here at spring training, back in his familiar territory here for at least a little while. Lynn, always great to see you. Thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
How different is it for you? Because I know you've covered other sports in your career, but you've been a baseball guy for a while, covered the Royals, came here, did a great job covering the Cardinals. How odd has it been for you that you're just now getting to spring training and you were not here for the first few weeks of it?
It was weird. Coming in the middle of things, you're usually here even before some of the players. So now to come in, games have already started, guys have all reported. Like, it's in the middle of, almost coming in midstream. It's a little bit weird, but I'm not mad about the weather.
What's your general takeaway on what you've kind of seen from afar from this spring? Obviously, there was the Arenado stuff at the beginning of spring. There's been a couple injuries here recently. Good news today on Jordan Walker. But outside of the Arenado stuff at the beginning, it's been kind of a quiet, boring spring training, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I expected. I mean, like, all the talk this offseason was about creating room for some of these guys that they've, like, you know, they had high hopes for, that you've seen glimpses of, that you've seen, you know, spurts, fits and starts of, like, what they could be. It was all about giving those guys, like, you know, room to show what they could do this season. So it's like, everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody, but, like, you know, you see people who are talking about, oh, they didn't sign this guy, they didn't do that, and it's like, they sort of told you in the beginning that this is what it was going to look like. I mean, you probably could have added a couple pieces, you know, depending on if they move some salary, like the, you know, the Arenado thing. Maybe they do one or two other things. But for the most part, the core of the team, like, it was going to be running it back and giving guys some chances to play. So I wasn't really surprised by that. This is sort of what I expected.
At this point in the spring training, everything is a tiny sample size. The offensive numbers haven't been especially good. The underlying numbers, hard hit rate, things like that, for the most part, have been pretty good. What do you put more stock in?
I mean, to me, it's still so early. Like, numbers can, and like you said, small sample size, so the numbers can change so fast. So it's like, you know, Ivan Herrera, like, oh, he's struggling at the plate. And then we come out here today, he hits two line drives, and I don't know what the average is up to, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, that looks a lot different, you know? And even, you know, I mean, I was just working on something, a column on Mason Wynn, and I think back to last year, because, you know, I had the conversation with him last year. He was talking about the approach that he was working on. I watched him in the batting cage, and he could explain to you exactly what he was trying to do. You would see it in the batting cage, and it just didn't really translate into games. But then, was it, I think, April or the first month, and then into May, he was hitting 300. So, I mean, like, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was trying to work on. It didn't translate into games, and you start the season saying, oh, this might be rough, and then it clicks, and exactly the things that he'd been working on carried over into games. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it works that way every time, but, I mean, I'm not going to freak out over, you know, 15 at-bats, or, I mean, I think Wynn was 0 for 18 going into that hit that he finally got the other day. And so, I mean, yeah, you keep track of it and you keep an eye on it, but, I mean, I wouldn't start sounding alarms yet.
Wynn's a guy who, at least, he's got the track record of last season. This is his sophomore year. We'll see what happens there. But for guys like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, who have not yet put together really a full major league season, we've seen glimpses from both of them. Walker a couple years ago, Gorman has had some good numbers in his major league time, but they have a hard time putting it together. What do you want to see from those guys here in spring?
You know, for me, I mean, and I got here just a couple of days ago, but I got here in time. Like, so Jordan, it's the last game before yesterday when he got hurt, had a couple of, like, hard hit balls, line drives to the outfield. I mean, one of them was a diving catch. One of them was, you know, smoked right at somebody. I mean, like, if he's doing that, you know, like, making the type of contact, having the type of at-bats, driving the ball, like, I mean, whether it's caught or not, I mean, I'm not too worried about that. But if he's doing that and he's going to be able to do that consistently, then you're fine. Gorman, you know, I think he had a hit the other day that looked pretty good. And I think even today, he's, you know, it's the type of at-bats, it's the type of contact, it's, you know, and then are they able to do it consistently? It's not so much the offer, you know, whatever. It's, are they starting to get to a point where it looks the same, it looks good, and it's looking that way on a consistent basis? To me, it's more so that than, you know, what their batting average is through spring training, you know, when you got all sorts of variables and different things like that.
Walker's injury, he stepped on a sprinkler head a little bit awkwardly, twisted his knee or jammed his knee a bit, but we found out from Oliver Marmol, probably going to be about a week or so of him not doing baseball activities, and then he's going to ramp up again after that. All things considered, I guess that's pretty good news.
Yeah. I mean, if you were looking at some extended period of time, you know, some sort of a setback, something like that, or a serious injury, then it'd be like, oh, man, it's going to put him back when this was going to be a big year. This was going to be a year for him to show things. This is, you know, it seemed like he was really excited working with the new hitting coach Brent Brown. So, like, a significant amount of time, you say, well, maybe this sets him back, but a week during spring training, like, you know, if he gets off to this type of start that, you know, like he did that rookie year, or he gets the hitting streak, or if he just gets off to a hot start, nobody's going to remember that he missed a week in March. So, I mean, it's all in all, it's probably, you know, the best case scenario for any type of injury.
We're talking with Lynn Worthy, Post-Dispatch, STL Today, former Cardinals beat writer. Now you're reading him as a columnist. He'll be doing a lot of Cardinal stuff. He has been and will continue to do so now that he's down here in Florida for a little while. How much have you enjoyed, though, looking at some of the other sports and getting to know that a little bit better?
Oh, it's been fun. I mean, it's it takes me back to, you know, like the first newspaper job I had. We did a little bit of everything. So it was, you know, colleges, professional sports, maybe even some youth sports. It was, you know, high schools. It was different levels, different sports, a little bit of everything. And so it's sort of like getting back to that. I mean, even some of the stuff, like I hadn't covered hockey in a few years, but I'd covered it years ago. I mean, I'd covered, you know, some of a lot. I mean, I covered college basketball pretty extensively for a period of time, and I hadn't covered it for years. So going back over to, like, you know, a SLU game was sort of it was weird, but also sort of like, oh, okay, I remember this. And then you sort of like fall back into old habits. So it was, it's been cool. And it's also given me, you know, a chance to see some of the athletic things or some of the sports that are sort of synonymous with St. Louis, aside from the Cardinals, that I didn't really get that much time to spend at, whether that's a Blues game or, you know, things like that. So it's been pretty cool.
I don't know if you would agree, but we're in a really interesting time for us in media, because I think the leaders of these individual teams give us all the time we need, have well thought out answers. You talk about Oliver Marmol, but now you get to work with Jim Montgomery and Josh Schertz and Anthony Beck, the Battlehawks coach. I mean, it's a bunch of coaches, managers, leaders in the area who I feel like are pretty good at using us in the media to be able to fully explain things to people who listen, read, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, so far I haven't had any knock on wood, adversarial sort of interactions or anything like that. I mean, it seems like for the most part they understand, you know, what our job is, and they understand that they want to communicate, you know, to people who, you know, follow the team, fans, people who maybe just follow the sport. So, I mean, so far it seems like they, everybody you named that I've had interactions with, I think everybody, at least to some extent, whether it's even just like on the Zoom call with, you know, the Battlehawks, seems to be pretty good about wanting to communicate with us or through us for people who follow the sport and follow their teams.
He is Lynn Worthy. You read him in the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Again, he is now a sports columnist. He is down here in Florida covering the Cardinals from now to the end of spring training. Lynn, great to see you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
That's Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When we return, his colleague Daniel Guerrero is set to join us. We got a lot. This is a really, really busy hour of the show. Daniel joins us in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Florida and Cardinal Spring Training on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training into our final hour of the show, as we're glad to be able to provide for you a few conversations that we've had. We're going back-to-back with some colleagues over at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Very happy after having Lynn Worthy on in our last segment. Let's bring on Daniel Guerrero. Going into his first year fully on the Cardinals beat, he'd been covering the Cardinals, but also with a focus on Cardinals prospects in recent years. But with Lynn going over to the columnist role, Daniel, along with Derek Gould, are now the two beat writers covering the Cardinals on an everyday basis. You follow Daniel on Twitter at the Dan Guerrero. With that, let's welcome Daniel on to the program. Great to see you. Thank you for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. A beautiful day out here, and always great to talk to you. So thanks for the invite.
Yeah, we're. I think we've talked to you since you had the role change. Maybe we haven't. It all kind of runs together. But you're in a little bit of a new role this year. You focus so much on prospects in recent years, but now with Lynn moving over to a columnist role, you've got a full beat writer's job while still doing the prospect stuff. So there's a lot on your plate.
I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm part of a great team at the Post-Dispatch, and I'm excited to still continue to bring prospect coverage to be on the big league beat fully, and, you know, be here for the full spring training and get to, you know, go on a few road games this year. I'm really looking forward to, but just kind of trying to bring the best coverage to our readers. So I mean, just any way I can do that, I'll be happy with.
Has it been fun for you? I mean, again, you still have a focus on prospects, but now you, and you've done big league stuff before, but the fact that your focus is able to be more on the big league team, have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, I think it's that's been one of the cool aspects. I still enjoy it. I love doing the prospect stuff and kind of being a somebody who can kind of introduce, like, these guys, you know, who are kind of new to the system or, you know, new to pro ball. But doing big league stuff also kind of has its cool things because you're, you know, instead of, you know, a lot of times I feel like, you know, you're telling kind of readers about, like, the future and kind of guys who are coming through. But, like, here are the guys who are here now and guys who we're watching on a daily basis. And, yeah, so I think that's probably one of the cool aspects that I do enjoy.
The camp, it's kind of been a quiet, workmanlike type of camp. Has anything especially stuck out to you about what we've seen so far in the first half of camp?
Well, I'm still thinking about Wilson Contreras' homer the other day that almost cleared the batter's eye here at Roger Dean. But, I mean, just as far as, like, overall tone of camp, I guess I can stick with Wilson. I mean, him playing first base, and I think one of the things that you see, and as we're kind of seeing here sitting from the stands, is, you know, kind of the personality he brings to the infield work. And that energy, that's something that Alec Burleson kind of talked about as being a big part of moving to first base for him, for Wilson and for Alec. But I think seeing Wilson Contreras kind of become, you know, still remain here and be that vocal leader, that vocal veteran in the clubhouse, that's been something unique to watch. And I think one of the other things that has stuck out just on an individual basis is really J.J. Weatherholt's presence in camp so far. I mean, he got off to a strong start in the Grapefruit League homer in his first game, and, you know, has been a constant around here, and Cardinals had their first wave of cuts and reassignments to minor league camp, and Weatherholt's still here, and, you know, he's going to get a good look and play shortstop and get some at-bats. So, I mean, it's a cool look into the future for the Cardinals' top prospect.
On the timeline on Weatherholt, do you think there's a scenario where maybe he gets on that Mason Wynn timeline where there's a possibility he spends a couple, 2-3 weeks on the big league club at the end of the season?
Oh, that's an interesting look. And I think a big part of it will be where the Cardinals are, you know, at the end of the year, this year, and in the season. I mean, maybe that is a part of it where, you know, this guy is doing really good in the minor leagues, hit the upper minor league levels, and, you know, you need a bat to play the middle infield. But I would say that I think Weatherholt could be on a quicker path to the majors, given his experience in college, given just sort of his ceiling and kind of talents that he already has and the tools that he already has with him as his prospect. I mean, he was a number 7 overall pick for a reason, and, you know, guys go that high, you know, tend to move quickly. And I think seeing him in high A to begin the year is a really likely scenario, and, you know, after that he dictates his own timeline of how quickly he advances. I mean, I think he could get into double A pretty quickly. And if he's already there, I mean, we've seen the Cardinals really zoom guys up the system. And we've seen it with Mason, like you mentioned. We've seen it with Jordan Walker. We've seen it with Victor Scott. And maybe Weatherholt kind of has a tool set to be a guy that could be on that same path.
We're talking with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch and STL today. We were just in a conversation with Ollie, and it feels like the narrative here over the last few days has kind of moved to the team's baseball card numbers, offensively not good, the advanced numbers, a lot of guys hitting the ball hard, things like that. How do you assess where this team is at from an offensive standpoint, where the numbers that most people pay attention to don't look great right now?
Yeah, and that's an interesting way to look at it, right? Because the box score is what determines the score of the game, right? Because if guys aren't getting hits and not scoring runs, then you're going to lose games. I wouldn't put too much value in wins and losses in spring training because, you know, guys are only playing parts of the games. I do value, you know, the advanced numbers because the metrics are there. Sometimes you hit into bad luck, but if the quality of contact's there, obviously that's a good sign. It's still, I think, a little early to be, you know, kind of sounding the alarm of, you know, guys aren't hitting. But yeah, you can't ignore, you know, Mason Wynn hasn't gotten a hit yet. Nolan Gorman has one hit. Von Herrera hasn't had a hit yet. So, I mean, there are guys. Brendan Donovan's another one who's been a little slow to start. And I think what we saw the other day out of Jordan Walker is probably, like, a good example of the way the Cardinals are looking at it, or Ollie Marmol's looking at it, right, where Jordan Walker has a sack fly on a line drive, has a deep fly ball to the left, you know, a couple hard hit balls the other day, but doesn't really have any box score numbers to show. I think as guys continue to get at bats here in the next week and kind of work through their approach, work through their mechanics, I think quality of contact will be definitely something to watch, but I think as we get deeper into spring, yeah, you would like to see, you know, some box score results and those averages tick up and those OPS numbers tick up.
From a competition standpoint, we'll see what happens with Michael McGreevy. He's kind of on the outside looking in. Bunch of guys competing for spots in the bullpen, guys competing for the final, you know, spots on the bench, four or five guys kind of in there. Is there a battle from a position group standpoint, even center field with Scott and Ciani? What is there anything that you're really taking note of?
I'm also looking at the catching spot, right, where we have Ivan Herrera and Pedro Pajes, you know, primed to be the Cardinals' catching tandem in the major leagues, and you know, somebody's got to start on opening day. Somebody's got to take majority of the reps if it's not a true split. I've seen them kind of go back and forth, alternate games. But that's another one that I'm looking at. I think it's one of those things where it's going to come down to what the Cardinals are going to value just in terms of what they offer, right? We've seen Ivan Herrera show some strong, box score and advanced metrics at the plate at the major league level. We've seen Pedro Pajes, you know, call a good game. We've seen him, you know, in what he offers and, you know, kind of the framing of framing game when it comes to, you know, balls and strikes. I think one of those guys is going to, you know, have to step up and kind of make up for the parts of the game that, you know, they've kind of lacked a little bit in a sense. I think that's going to be kind of the deciding factor of what the Cardinals decide on who's going to be the opening day starter and maybe who could become the primary starter if it's not a traditional split.
Last thing for you, because you have such a good eye on prospects and player development. We know that this team is going through this period where they're redoing the player development system. Most of that work is going to get done after spring training ends and everything. But have you noticed anything, whether it's from an instruction standpoint, anything? Has anything stuck out to you from what you've seen maybe on the backfields that are maybe a little bit different this year?
I think just the staffing and in terms of the coaches, minor league instructors that they have, that was one of the big things that the Cardinals did this offseason, was just add additional resources in terms of just people power for these prospects. That was something that, you know, they really did lack. I mean, there's positions and coordinators that they have that they didn't have, specific roles for before. I mean, having a catching coordinator and Ethan Goforth is a big one. Jose LaHare, who was a minor league manager in Double A the last few years and, you know, led that team to, you know, some winning seasons and playoff appearances, now is assistant field coordinator and a base running coordinator, which they didn't have. They didn't have a base running coordinator, at least a dedicated one. And I think that that's kind of the big thing, where you have guys who have specific roles and are dedicated to different things, and you have players who now can work with individuals instead of, you know, kind of leaning on a couple of coaches or instructors to kind of handle that workload. And that's a huge thing for not just the player side, but the coaching side, to kind of really sink your teeth into one thing and, you know, and help a guy develop and grow in that area.
He is Daniel Guerrero. Read him in the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. Derek Gould, Benjamin Hopkins down here, Lynn Worthy's here right now. They've just done an amazing job on their coverage of the Cardinals. Daniel, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
That's Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. When we return, Mike Claiborne will join us for a few moments. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back into the program. Continuing to come your way from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals spring training. You've heard us together every week on the Countdown to Opening Day show, but haven't gotten the chance to bring them on to Sports Open Line here since spring training got started. So with me getting back to St. Louis here in a couple days, let's get this done. Happy to welcome Mike Claiborne on to the show. Hey, Claibs.
Well, it's nice to see you again. So are we talking baseball or everything else is going on in the world of sports?
We'll talk some baseball if that's all right with you.
Yeah. I'm talking enough baseball. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever you want to talk about. But this is kind of a fun time of the year where you have spring training games, players are starting to emerge, new names and faces are starting to come about. The injury issue. It's amazing how nobody's talking about trades at this point, because everyone's trying to figure out who they are. And then you look at college basketball. The tournament is about to start. And I don't know about you, but I think it's going to be wide open again. I think you have maybe four teams that can get there. And I think everybody else is kind of a wild card. The NFL is kind of crazy. The salary cap and guys are going to start spending money once again with free agency. And the franchise tag has been lifted on some players. And then here come the Blues. The trade deadline is on Friday. And, you know, you ask yourself the question, what do you have? What do you need? And does anybody have an interest in anything you have? So, fun time to be in sports. And so I got it all out of my system.
You mentioned college basketball. I don't know if there's a great team. We saw Auburn lose the other day to Texas A&M. Duke's good. Tennessee's good. I mean, there's teams there in the top five spots. But to your point, I don't know. If you're not a great team, and I don't think there's a great team out there, it is wide open. And if you get hot and you go on a run, anybody can win this thing.
I don't think there's such thing as a great team now because of the portal, the NIL, and the movement within college sports. It's hard to put that many players together for one run because normally they're off somewhere else after the following year. So coaching and keeping it simple is really one of the strong suits you have to have as a coach. Along with, if you don't have a guy who's a JUCO coach on your staff who knows how to quick coach guys, it's really hard to win. And this year, I think you're seeing teams start to shift in that direction, keeping it simple and relying on players to, A, have a good mental processing skill, along with applying their athletic skill as far as conditioning and just overall ball awareness and how you make that turn out to something that's going to be successful you and your program.
I bet Brad Underwood would probably agree with you on the JUCO thing. He was down at Daytona for a while as the head coach. Corey Tate for SLU. So the point about having guys on the staff that can quickly get guys together, that's a nice skill set to have on a staff.
It really is. And, you know, to build a program to say what this young man looks like in 3 years, man, you better worry about what he looks like at the end of this year and be able to be in a position to re-recruit him because the NIL thing has just become such a factor. Now, the question I've always come into play is, you know, when a guy goes in the portal, why? Is he not good enough? Is he not getting enough playing time? Is he getting run off? Did somebody make him a better offer? I mean, there's a lot of reasons on why guys are in the portal. And some of them aren't ones that you want to inherit. And so I think the character issue comes into play. And I'm sure with the size of these coaching staffs today, there's a guy, all he does is sit there and evaluate character. And is he a coachable person? And what did you hear about him? What do you know about him? Does he go to class? I mean, there's so many things that go into that, that the head coach, there just isn't enough time in a day for him to be able to sift through this one-on-one with every player. He has to be given information on whether this applies to the success of the program or not. And I think it's harder now to coach than it's ever been.
There's a lot of things impacting college basketball from a negative standpoint. One of the things I see, I'm not upset about NIL and, you know, portal and money and so forth, but what does concern me is guys are getting more money going across the street as opposed to staying at their own place, because that's just the way things work. If people leave jobs, they leave jobs to go make more money at a different place. At some point, these teams are going to have to find a way to be matching the offers of other schools, or you're just going to have guys walking across the street every single year.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. And they are doing it now, but I really feel that at this point, there has to be more uniformity with regard to the ability to move from one program to another. Maybe there ought to be a uniform contract that everybody abides by, because, you know, you've seen players that think they're going to get paid this and they don't get paid. They want to all of a sudden up the ante. There's so many sidebars to how this thing is working that eventually we're going to see this thing in court. I would imagine we'll see some sort of legislation. That's if the NCAA can keep it together. I personally don't think they will, because I think the Power Five conferences or the big boys are going to walk away from this thing sooner than they think. I wouldn't be surprised to hear more rumblings at the end of the Final Four. I really think we're at that point now where they kind of know that they can't sustain this pace. So why don't we just circle our wagons, put in some legitimate rules that everybody will feel comfortable with, and move on.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. And I think one of the biggest narratives of the past week was trying to figure out what's real from an offensive standpoint, because the Cardinals have struggled with their baseball card numbers, the batting average, the home runs, the RBIs, the runs scored, the OPS, things like that. But people will be quick to tell you that the underlying numbers, the exit velos, the things like that are all looking really good. Generally, over large sample size, Klaibs, that leads to good baseball card numbers, still a tiny sample size. How do you kind of view all that when you do have a team that's not doing what you want them to do offensively?
I think you have to first look at the day on the calendar and who has an advantage. Pitchers are a little bit ahead of the hitters. You also have to take a look at an approach. Some guys want to look at pitches coming out of a pitcher's hand because they've been watching it come out of a pitching machine for the last 3 months. So it's a growing process that takes about 3 weeks, 3 weeks worth of at-bats to really know what you have. And we're in week two, and you'll see some guys who are making some subtle adjustments. And next week, you'll see them truly apply, as are the pitchers. Pitchers are going to work on their stuff a little bit more. We're not going to be pumping fastballs. We're going to be throwing changeups. We're going to throw sliders. We're going to throw pitches that we can see if we can get swing and miss on. We're going to throw pitches we see if we can keep it on the ground. So that adjustment phase will take place also. So I really believe that week three is really the telltale mark of what you have. And if he's not doing it, then you have to figure out what plan B is. If he is doing it, then you have to say, how can we make sure we keep him at a good, consistent pace? And if he's still trying to figure it out, you have to decide what are our options with regard to this position and what this person's role is going to be within the organization.
Yeah, a couple guys collected their first hits of spring this past week, and Mason Wynn and Nolan Gorman. Those guys are in two very different spots. Wynn, I think there's all the confidence in the world that he's going to be fine. He's just working on some things. He's trying to identify pitches. Where Gorman, we still don't for sure know if the adjustments and the tweaks that he has made to a swing, whether that's going to play out in the big leagues.
I would agree with you. This is a work in progress. I mean, he's gotten off to a tough start. And the same way he was getting himself out last year, the same way he's getting himself out this year. So in talking to Brant Brown and trying to reinstill some different values and just a different approach, it's going to take some time. And here's the other thing. It's not like you have five third basemen standing over there waiting to take a spot. I mean, this is an organization that may be a little short on third baseman within themselves, and I don't blame them. You know, you have Arenado, and you had Nolan Gorman, and you thought these between the two would be your third baseman for the next 10, 15 years. Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. So you almost are in a position where you want to sink or swim. Now, I know you can say, well, what about this guy? What about none of those guys are legitimate third basemen. They can play it. But the productivity from a defense and offensive standpoint is not what you would like to circle every year as far as expectations are concerned.
Let me finish you off with this. We'll talk hockey for just a quick second. Coming up on the trade deadline, do you believe in what the Blues have done recently where they went into a bit of a hot streak? Or is this a team that maybe uses the deadline to move some of their marquee players?
Who are their marquee players? That'd be my first question to you.
A Bennington, a Shen, a Thomas, a Kyrou.
You know, the question is, who's in dire need for a goalie? You know, Bennington has a very comfortable contract. Is he a difference maker? There's no doubt. Is he a money player? There's no doubt. What are you looking for in return is the bigger question, because the Blues are stacking prospects. And at some point, prospects are going to have to be evaluated to be either that or suspects. And right now, there's a lot of guys that we just don't know about. You probably need some more experience on this on hockey club as well. So I'm just not sure, because to move people around, you're basically raising the flag of surrender for this year, and you don't want to go 3 years in a row without making the playoffs. I think that's something that really is going to be tough for Blues fans to swallow. But then again, you don't want to mortgage your farm just to get in one round in. So it's a catch-22. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I'm not sure if there's a wrong answer here, but I just think fans want to see some sort of movement. We have been conditioned between the Cardinals and the Blues when the deadline rolls around, we're going to do something. And I don't think that's going to be any different this year. There may be some smaller deals made, I think, but nothing along the line where, whoa, get the names ready to put it on a cup. I'm not sure if that deal is out there for the Blues, but I would like to see them do something.
Claves, appreciate the time. You and I have a countdown to opening day coming up tomorrow night.
We sure do, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. That's going to be a fun show. We've talked to a few of those people already, and I would suggest to everybody who wants to be updated on some things you haven't heard a great deal about, tomorrow night is where you're going to find them, right here on KMOX.
We will take a break. Have more in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida. Before we get out of here, let's do some fun with audio and listen in to a little bit of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say after tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, where the Cardinals lose to the Astros by a 6-5 score in walk-off fashion. Should be noted that they had a lead going to the bottom of the eighth. Houston scored two in the bottom of the eighth to tie it, and then got the one run in the bottom of the ninth to win it, but the Cardinals did have a late lead they could not hold on to. But when you look at, you know, specifically from a pitching standpoint and bullpen standpoint, a lot of the guys that you wanted to see have success had success. More on that in just a moment, but let's start with starting pitching. As Sonny Gray, he made his first appearance of spring, and the results were mixed. 2 2/3 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits. All 3 runs scored on solo home runs. So he had 3 home runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks. He was able to get his pitch count to just about 50. 49 is where it was. So he had been building his pitch count on the backfields, and then they got him to about 50 inside of a game. And Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol was mostly happy. Again, your first Grapefruit League appearance. It's not so much about the results. It's about getting out there, being able to accomplish some certain things, and getting that pitch count up all at the same time.
It was good to see him out there first time. We wanted to get him to right around 50 pitches, which he got to 49, which was great. Mixed all his stuff and felt good coming off, so that's what you're looking at for first time out there, so it's good.
From a bullpen standpoint, the Cardinals got some pretty good pitching, especially from the guys that you want to see them get some pretty good pitching from. Chris Roycroft went out there, threw one scoreless inning, gave him just 2 hits, 1 strikeout. Good work from John King, did not give up a hit, had a strikeout. You know, one guy that I'm really intrigued by is Rodery Munoz. He's been a starter in his career. They've moved him to the bullpen. So far, so good for him. 3 outings, 3 innings, hasn't given up a run, hasn't given up a hit, has 5 strikeouts and no walks. I think he's opening up some eyes, so he did a really nice job. But kind of the star of the bullpen certainly would have been Jojo Romero. He looked fantastic. 1 inning, and he gets 3 strikeouts, and clearly Marmol was happy what he saw from his bullpen, starting with Romero.
Stuff looked good, man. Getting the righty there was nice to see. It was a good part of the lineup for him to come in and kind of test it out, and he made pitches. So I like what we saw out of him today. King was pretty quick. Roycroft did his job. Mooney showed some plus stuff. So it was good to see that group of relievers out there today for an inning apiece.
There are a number of position battles going on right now, and a lot of guys are really battling for a spot on the Cardinals bench. And that group of players includes, you know, Jose Fermin and Michael Hellman, Thomas Ajayi might be in that group if they can find him enough at bats. There's a bunch of guys, but two guys who have been pretty intriguing at this point with what they've been able to do, had good games today in Lucan Baker and Jose Barrera. Let's start with Baker. He goes 1 for 2. He hits another home run. So he's hitting .294 so far in spring. He has 3 home runs and 17 at-bats, has an OPS over 1,200, and Oliver Marmol absolutely likes what he is seeing so far with Lucan Baker at the plate.
Taking some really good at-bats. Understands the strike zone, doesn't matter righty-lefty. He's just put together some quality at-bats, so it's been fun watching him.
And then I mentioned Jose Barrera. You know, at one point, we've talked about this a lot, but for those of you who are not totally aware of his story, he came up as one of the top prospects in all of baseball with the Cincinnati organization. He can do just about everything on the field. So if you're looking for a guy who could potentially play shortstop on days that Mason Wynn isn't in there, Barrera definitely fills that role. He's just never really hit in his big league career. That's been the problem. So he came up as a top prospect, but had a hard time hitting. Well, he's hitting a little bit so far this spring, tiny sample size, but you look at what he's doing in his 9 games so far, a .273 average. He's got a couple home runs, hit a home run today, and Marmol likes where that what that bat is looking like and how it is continuing to progress.
He's continuing to understand his swing, and he's trying to understand the strike zone better and making good decisions at the plate. So he's working hard at it. It's going to be a work in progress, but I like the direction he's headed with Brownie.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking through things after the Cardinals lose today to Houston by a 6-5 score. Tomorrow they match up against the Nationals at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. That game's going to be a webcast. Myself and Mike Claiborne will have the call of that game, 12:05 first pitch. So our coverage begins at 11:55 at Cardinals.com and MLB.com. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the program tonight. Back tomorrow with the Countdown to Opening Day show from Jupiter, Florida. It's been the Benny Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.